Chapter 31. Patroclus. It hadn't been a game. He is 17 years old, the strongest soldier in his father's army, the fastest runner and most skilled archer, and if he's not quite the best swordsman on the island, well, give him another couple of years. Dion is his brother-in-arms, his dearest friend, and Patroclus had thought they would live together and die together on the battlefield. He thought Dion was beautiful and warm, and that his hands were the perfect size for Patroclus's own, if he could ever muster the courage to take them. He is 17 years old when he's proven wrong about everything he thought he knew. It's the middle of the night, and he's walking home from a long day of running drills, and then staying later than everyone else to work on his sword dances again and again until he feared his bones would pop out of his arms. He's almost home when he hears a woman scream, and then he's pushing his tired limbs to run before he can think better of it. When he finds a man forcing himself on a crying girl in an alleyway, he doesn't think anything about pulling him off of her and punching him in the face. Then it's Dion, looking up at him with a bloody nose and all the air leaves Patroclus's lungs. "What are you doing?" he asks, lips numb. He recognized, vaguely, that they're blocking the exit of the alley, that the girl is pulling her torn dress back up and can't run until they get out of the way. But he can't bring himself to move. "What am I doing?" Dion wipes the blood from his face. "What are you doing? What's your problem?" He's incredulous and pissed off and not even remorseful. Isn't acting like he did anything wrong. And for a moment, Patroclus wonders if it's just a misunderstanding, if he'd interrupted something he should have left alone. But he looks back at the girl, who's their age, who's huddled back against the alley wall with wide, frightened eyes, and knows it's not. "I'm telling my father about this." "About what?" Dion presses. "What are you so angry about? You can have her if you want her so badly." Rage floods his body, chases away any tiredness remaining in his limbs. How could you act like this? You are in my father's army. Your actions are his actions. And you attack a citizen and then pretend it means nothing? I'm telling my father about this, and when he hears it, he'll kick you from the army, and you'll return home in disgrace. Dion gets closer, scowling, and shoves him in the chest. "Are you out of your mind? My father will disinherit me if I get kicked out. Don't play around with me." "No one's playing," he says darkly, and shoves him back. "You're pathetic. You don't belong in my father's army. If your father denounces you, it'll be the least of what you deserve." "I'm not going to let that happen," Dion says, and the coolness of his answer makes Patroclus's hackles rise, lets him know there's going to be a fight based on his tone alone. He doesn't remember who makes the first move after that, but then they're fighting, properly fighting, not sparring or messing around. And Patroclus is losing. He wouldn't normally, but he's been training for hours while Dion had left with all the other soldiers. And his friend's hands are around his throat, and as his vision starts to go dark, all he can think is that perhaps Dion's hands are not so lovely after all. Then he can breathe again, and he's coughing as he rolls over and pushes himself to his knees. Dion's blank eyes stare up at him as blood pools beneath his head, a bloody rock a few feet away. He looks up a little higher, and the girl is there, shaking with her hands wrapped around herself.
I'm sorry. He was going to kill you. I didn't mean... I was just trying to stop him.
Right. Okay. Go, he says, looking at his dead best friend.
What?
She repeats. And she holds out her hands, like she's going to try and pull him upright. And he flinches. She freezes and deliberately takes one step back, away from him. "You'll be killed," he says. Knows vaguely that he should probably be gentler about this, but those thoughts seem far away from him now. He's a general's son, and they'll kill you for what you've done. They won't care what he did to you or me. You have to go. His father outranks Dion's, but he doesn't think that'll matter to either of their fathers.
I'll tell the truth for both of us, okay? Don't worry about me. Neither of us will be hurt, she insists.
Her clothes are simple but fine. She might be a lady's favorite servant, or maybe even a low-ranking noble. But even if she's someone important enough that she's right, that still means telling the truth. That still means everyone knowing exactly what Dion had done. And the thought makes acid rise to the back of his throat.
No, I know what he was about to do to you, but no. You already took the man's life. At least leave him his reputation.
She swallows, leaning back from him. Before he can try and apologize, she asks,
But what will you do?
He'll take the blame, of course. Otherwise, they'll go looking for Dion's killer, and they'll find her.
Go. If you die, then he's died for nothing, understand? If you're both dead, then there was no point to any of this, so you have to live.
She tries pleading with him, but he doesn't listen, doesn't answer her, and eventually she leaves. He stays in the street with Dion's corpse until dawn, until people start to fill the streets. They see him and scream. He's silent as he's taken in, and when he's questioned, he woodenly states that it was because of a game, that it was an accident. Because if he says anything else, if they kill that girl for killing Dion, then it was all worthless. And he can't have that, can't stand that, even at the cost of his own life, his own reputation, his father's reputation. His father won't look at him as he sentences him to 20 years of hard labor. Most people don't make it past 5, but he's young and he's strong, so maybe he has a chance. Patroclus hopes it'll kill him long before 5. But he never makes it there. Instead of being carted off, he's brought to a palace room in the middle of the night. Inside it is King Peleus, the ruler of their small land.
Your Majesty, he says, dropping onto his knees and bowing his head.
This has even reached his ears. He'll never be able to bear living now, with his king thinking he's a murderer.
Rise,
his king commands, and he listens, because what else can he do? He notices, standing just behind him, is the girl.
This is Princess Polydora, he says, and Patroclus's eyes widen. He's heard of his king's daughter from a different land and a different marriage, but he'd never met her, hadn't known what she looked like. She told me what happened, what you did for her, and what you were willing to sacrifice to protect the memory of your friend.
Yes, Your Majesty, he says, because he can't think of anything else to say. The king is silent for a long time.
If you're truly committed to ensuring your friend's memory remains pure, then I can't pardon you, and you can't show your face here again.
I understand, he says, and he doesn't ask for a pardon. A smile curls around King Peleus's lips.
You're a good man. I have work for you then, if you'll take it.
He inclines his head, because of course he will. For this man who knows the truth and is good enough to offer him a pardon and kind enough not to force him to take it.
I have a son, the king announces,
and Patroclus doesn't have the energy to be shocked, although, of course, this news is shocking.
He's under a dangerous prophecy to befall a terrible fate should he ever become involved in war. And so, when he was born, my wife took him and hid him in a faraway land so that the fates could not find him. She hasn't even told him that he's a prince. You will go to him and protect and serve him, for your life is now his.
He thought Queen Thetis was dead, but clearly not.
Yes, Your Majesty, he agrees,
because going far away from all of this to serve a prince, dedicating his life to this king's child, may be the only thing left worth living for.
Good. The king says, and leaves without a backward glance. Patroclus is left kneeling, confused, and Polydora comes forward and offers him her hand, pulling him to her feet. "My brother's name is Achilles," she says, smiling, "and I think you'll like him."